Hey there, my name's Jared Holt, and welcome back to Posting Through It. This is a bi-weekly podcast released every other Monday. It examines our social and political decay as only internet addicts can. The show's ad-free thanks to generous listener support. There's a newsletter at postingthroughit.com you can sign up for that goes out in between these episodes. And last but not least, while you're there, I hope you'll consider giving $5 a month to help me keep this project going. Your support makes this show what it is. I understand that not everyone has the means to do that, which is why I make most of the content here free for anyone to access. But if you woke up today feeling generous, I hope you'll keep this show in mind. And that is the pushiest sales pitch I'll ever do. Let's get this thing going. Joining me in the co-host seat today, doing something a little different this go-around, is Amanda Moore. Longtime listeners may remember her. I talked to her on the show last after she had come forward, outed herself as having embedded undercover in far-right and pro-Trump events and communities and all that sort of thing. Go check out that episode if you haven't already. Amanda, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing well, you know. It's cold in Chicago this weekend. It hasn't been the whole winter, so it's starting to feel a little normal here. But how have things been? I looked it up, and the last time you were on the show was in November 2021, which it doesn't feel like it's been that long, but it's been a while. What's new?
Oh, you know. Just following the old Nazis I used to know from afar, and going to fun stuff like the March for Life.
Oh yeah, you're a big like anti-abortion person.
It's
right?
True. Yeah, I actually have my own church. You can join if you want. That's our whole goal and mission statement.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting this year. Patriot Front, the like neo-fascist group, showed up at March for Life. I found out because you tweeted about it, but it didn't really seem to make the same waves that it did the year prior. I don't know, are people just like bored with Patriot Front at this point? It's, you noted in your tweet, it'll like never be as good as the last time, which, you know, Unicorn Riot had just published out some like a fresh set of chat logs from them. They were getting like doxxed backwards and forwards, and they showed up and people were just like screaming their names at them.
So funny.
It can't top that, but
it was so funny, you know.
Did you get any sense of like what the reception was like this year? Because whenever they've shown up to anti-abortion stuff in the past, it's kind of been like a mixed bag.
I think this was smart for them to do, because they were only handing their little like papers to people that looked like they would, you know, fit the vibe.
They have like a picture in their wallet of like the kind of haircut that I have, and they're like, ah, yes.
Just throw on a blue America First hat, Jared, and Patriot Front will flyer you. You'll love it. It'll be great. I wanted a flyer. They wouldn't give me one. So, you know, I didn't make the cut, but you could. But yeah, I mean, it was easier, I think, for people to have like a positive reception, because if you didn't know, you didn't know. Like, I've seen reporters already writing articles and saying Patriot Front wasn't there. And it's like, well, then who was I staring at for 2.5 hours at the intersection of Madison and, you know, 7th Street? Because it really looked like Patriot Front to me. So I don't know. But, you know, because they're targeting younger adults or like teenagers, you know, I think there's like an edgy vibe. And like, it's different if you're like 16 and you're on your school field trip to the anti-abortion rally, and you're like, Patriot Front's super cool, while they're like screaming Reclaim America at an empty construction site, versus like someone in khakis and a mask handing you a paper and you being like, yeah, I will check this out. So
Amanda, you published a story in Talking Points Memo that I want to get to, but first we have to talk about the big story of the day, the number one hashtag trending topic in conservative media right now, which is all about Steven Crowder's paycheck. Have you been following this? Have you been keeping up with it?
I have been, yeah.
It's great. Listeners, I'll fill you in. So working class hero Steven Crowder turned down more money than I'll ever make in my life to host his podcast with The Daily Wire, which is a conservative publication. It does really well on social media, that sort of thing. They offered him $50 million. And, you know, being the champion of the little guy that Steven Crowder is at heart, he has demanded that instead of being paid a measly $12.5 million a year, he should be paid $30 million a year. And, you know, to rewind, if you don't know who Steven Crowder is, he's this like Fox News expat, right-wing comedian, and you can vouch for me, Amanda, the air quotes are there.
Yes.
I mean, where do you start? Like most of these guys, he's a grown man who does some kind of variation of owning the libs. If you don't know who he is, you might have seen the Change My Mind memes, the like photo of the guy with a coffee cup at a fold out plastic table and the, you know, the Change My Mind sign. That's Steven Crowder. And, you know, he does what normal grown men do, which is go to universities and argue with 18-year-olds. you know, he has this like really big cult following in right-wing media. He's like one of the superpowers of online right-wing media, at least. And, you know, I mean, he gives his audience what he wants. What can we say? You know, this like reactionary commentary, bigoted jokes. I mean, I feel like if you've seen one of these conservative comedian types, you've kind of seen them all, but what else can we say about Steven Crowder if people don't know? I almost don't want to tell people if they don't know.
Like, if they don't know, they're lucky and they should just count their blessings, you know? Yeah. Oh, it's like one of those things where he just super sucks. And he'll go viral on Twitter every so often because he says something so egregious, you know, on his YouTube channel. And then like a week later, everyone's like, who? You know, I mean, normal people are like, who? Like his fans are, you know, obviously still into him.
Yeah, they're like, wow, Steven, you really triggered the libs this time. I can't wait to buy another coffee cup from you.
Oh my God, did you? Oh yeah.
I don't know.
So you're a member of the Mug Club?
No, not at this point. My membership expired, and you know, but I might have to renew it. You know, I am a issues voter, if anything, and my main issue is making sure that the conservative personalities that I enjoy are, you know, properly rich and properly receiving the amount of online engagement they deserve.
I mean, actually, my church, my anti-abortion church, our next issue is going to be boycotting your show until someone gives you $50 million. So
that's,
you're welcome.
That's very kind. May the blessings of God help this guy. Anyway, so there's this big fallout over this contract that wasn't signed, that was a contract. I don't know, but, you know, shout out to Justin Barragona, The Daily Beast, for wading through some of this mess. Saved me a lot of time. It's going to save you all a lot of time. So I'll be reading from some of his reporting. An increasingly ugly and personal feud has broken out this week between two of the biggest names in the conservative entertainment complex, with one popular YouTuber accusing right-wing media boy king, fantastic, Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire empire of colluding with tech companies to tamp down right-wing content. Big tech is in bed with big con, Steven Crowder said in a video this week, complaining about a contract offer he'd received from the Daily Wire, though he didn't specifically name the company. A day after Crowder told his viewers to stop big con, The Daily Wire's chief executive, Jeremy Boring, published an hour-long response video detailing the negotiating offer that the conservative media empire sent to Crowder's agent. An hour-long response video is like, these guys have like perfected the art of the form. I do have to hand them that, even if they're like completely boring and dumb, but like, it's like pure YouTuber drama. This is like, they know the formula. Yeah.
It's also like extremely like childish, like to do this, you know, to make this out like this whole thing is very childish, like, first of all. But like, I can't imagine tuning in for the whole video because I'm a fan.
Yeah, I can't imagine. If you're just hearing like exhausted sighs from me, that's most of my feelings about this story. So Boring, Jeremy Boring, great name for a guy who runs the Daily Wire.
His whole vibe, you know?
Yeah, Boring. I would agree with that. Besides confirming the Daily Wire had initially offered Crowder $50 million, claimed the podcaster misconstrued and misrepresented many of the details of the potential contract. He also took issue with Crowder accusing his site of doing the bidding of tech companies, insisting the Daily Wire has also been a victim of big tech's supposed one-sided censorship of conservative voices, which is laughable. If you, you know, as a researcher, I have access to tools like CrowdTangle, so I can go into the back end of like Facebook, and I always take it with a grain of salt because it is Facebook's tool, and like, they're like, here, sure, you can, wink, wink, you know, research some Facebook. but the Daily Wire is just like constantly destroying it. And they spend so much money on Facebook advertising. I don't believe for a second that these guys are like, oh, no, you know, big tech is, they're really coming after us, too. You know, we have all the top podcasts and everything. But like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg. Did you see him wince when somebody asked him about Ben Shapiro one time? Like, I don't know.
This is, I mean, it's funny because Nick Fuentes basically said exactly this on his show the other night. He was like, Daily Wire's full shit. Like, what? They're all over Facebook.
Yeah, they are all over Facebook. And it's just, I don't know. So anyways, Jeremy Boring puts out this video. So Steven Crowder shows up and starts airing out his dirty laundry. So the premise of his claims on why he thinks this contract is so bad is that, you know, he would be penalized if his show lost the ability to generate revenue through advertising or monetization on social media. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, the penalty was something like $100,000 an episode out of this obscene $50 million contract. You know, so Steven Crowder took issue with this. Makes sense. His show has been demonetized before because he can't resist doing things like bashing up on gay people. And, you know, so he reasoned that Daily Wire was in big tech's pocket because if he signed this contract, he would have to make a show that was, you know, quote unquote, tech friendly. Jeremy Boring, CEO of the Daily Wire, makes this hour-long response video trying to defend the company. So I'll go back to Justin's reporting here. In the response video posted on Wednesday evening, Boring said he wanted to be transparent with the Daily Wire audience by confirming that Crowder was indeed talking about their contract offer. Methodically detailing the entire contract line by line, Boring rejected the notion that the media company would seek to punish Crowder if a platform demonetized his channels or advertisers fled the show. At the same time, though, he noted that the language of the contract was standard in order to protect the Daily Wire from shouldering the entire burden of any decreases in ad revenue, especially since the Daily Wire would provide advertisers and sponsor for the program, as Boring pointed out. Steven's philosophy appears to be, this is a quote from Jeremy Boring, "I deserve to be paid millions and millions and millions of dollars, whether my show drives the revenue or not. That's not a business relationship," Boring said in his video. He's looking for a benefactor, which is pretty rich to hear from the Daily Wire, I have to say.
Mm-hmm, right? Like,
a $50 million contract. I mean, even if you look at like the biggest media companies on earth, you know, I don't know how much Anderson Cooper gets paid, but it's probably like not this. Or if it is close, it's like, well, it is Anderson Cooper. It's not like some guy who's like doing racist impressions of Asian people for an audience on Rumble.com or something.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Steven's got a really good point here, actually. I mean, it's never been about business. It's about the culture, right?
Yeah, exactly. For the Daily Wire to be talking about a benefactor is, I don't know. It's, you'll never convince me that they sell enough like leftist tiers tumblers or subscriptions to the Daily Wire Plus to finance something like that by themselves. They Absolutely. Are the byproduct of a benefactor. We just don't know exactly what it is. You know, well, I'll take us out here to the end. More reporting from Justin Barragona. Crowder naturally escalated the simmering feud on Thursday night by airing a recording of a taped phone call between himself and Boring. In the recording, which a smirking Crowder replayed numerous times for his viewers, Boring can be heard saying that the burgeoning right-wing media empire figures get to be wage slaves for a little bit while building their brand with the Daily Wire.
They don't get deals that...
They can be wage slaves for a little bit, come over and make a salary and grow their brand.
I mean, this is like if my parents are worth $200 million and I'm like, yeah, I'm a neat, you know, like, come on, come on.
Wage slave is like very, it's like a very 4chan slang. I don't know. It's...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just, also, I mean, I will be a wage slave for $50 million.
I will, like, too, yeah.
Does someone want me to do, like, Steven's show? I'm going to get fired after the first day, but I'll give it a go.
I'll go out in front of my house and, like, dig holes every single day if you pay me $50 million over the course of 4 years. Whatever you want. You know.
But what if you say the N-word too many times and then you lose $100,000 one of those days?
Yeah.
Is it even worth it then?
I mean, if we think about, like, all the sacrifices that, like, veterans have made and stuff, it's, yeah, it's, this is, that's, like, worse than that, I think.
Truly.
It breaks my heart.
This is Steven's Afghanistan. This is his Iraq war.
We salute you, Steven Crowder. Last thing. So, like, Ben Shapiro and the gang had been keeping it pretty diplomatic, I guess. But after Steven Crowder posted this audio clip where Jeremy Boring's like, oh, yes, we are going to let people build their brands here and they're going to, you know, suckle on the teat of, you know, $37,000 a year. And they're going to say thank you on the way up. Shapiro didn't think that was cool. On Friday, he gave a reaction because these people are YouTubers at heart and it's just all about reaction videos. He said, it's nasty to attack my company and Daily Wire hosts as big con by lying about the meaning of a non-binding term sheet. You know, I don't need to read the rest of this. That's the part that I think is funny. Like, I don't know. They rent their email list to, like, GOP campaigns. I want to say that I think it was Ron DeSantis's, like, gubernatorial campaign was sending stuff over the Daily Wire email list. So I'm especially enjoying this idea that, like, the Daily Wire, you know, producing these multi-million dollar films that gross, like, $800 at the box office and, you know, offering Steven Crowder God-tiers amount of money to do a podcast so he can be racist on their platform instead of Glenn Beck's. The idea that they are not, like, big con. I would argue they're, like, the biggest fish in the sea. And you said Nick Fuentes was saying that, right?
Oh, yeah. Nick is, like, I mean, well, he's saying a bunch of anti-Semitic stuff that we're not saying. But, of course. But, I mean, he's got, like, a great point, you know, because a lot of what Boren says about Steven is, like, you're not even worth what we offered you. And first of all, this is, like, so unprofessional. I would never sign a contract with the Daily Wire now because... I mean, I was in the market before with my church, I guess, but, like, I generally, like, would not sign any contract with somebody who's going to make an hour-long response video about me and the details of our contract and also insult me, especially when the insult is a lie. Like, these people, it's not ever been about being a profitable business because nothing they do. It's like you're saying, these, you know, stupid, like, liberal tiers, like, they're not selling enough of this stuff to really turn a profit, and that's not what their wealthy benefactors care about. They care about changing the culture and leaving an impact. Like, it's so hypocritical. But of course, you know, Fuentes is like, base Steven Crowder is going against the Jewish media. So that's more his stance, but he's like, yeah, they're conning, you know, like.
Nick needs to get some new material. I'm so, God damn it. You know, speaking of Nick, let's go on. Let's talk about this piece you wrote for Talking Points Memo. It's called Why the Ongoing Nick Fuentes Yay Alliance is So Dangerous. So for people who haven't been keeping score of, you know, their favorite anti-Semitic and white supremacist streamers, Nick Fuentes, Milo Yiannopoulos, fuck, who else? Ali Alexander have all, like, kind of crawled into bed with the rapper formerly known as Kanye West, I guess, called Ye now, but...
It's so funny. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you forgot about Laura Loomer. much like everybody forgets about Laura. Wait, Loomer. What was she? The girl just can't get a break.
What was she doing?
Oh, she's all. She was on the InfoWars thing with them. She's oh, all shit. About.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I know she called in.
Nobody remembers Laura Loomer. She sucks so much.
I know
much.
I know she called in, but was she like associated with the campaign formally ever?
Well, there is no campaign to be formally associated
oh,
with.
Oh, that's true.
He's not running yet. Filed. For legal purposes, we can't say that.
The aspirational campaign.
Yeah.
You know, so we're just going to sit here. We're going to beat up on Kanye West. Why? Because he dared to dream. He dared to dream he could be the president. Anyway, you know, so through that lens, like, you know, Nick Fuentes ends up making a ton of national headlines because he winds up across the dinner table from Donald Trump next to Kanye. Obviously, that is not good. So you start up the piece, you know, naturally, I think, at the fact that he's come up in news, even mentioning that, you know, Jimmy Kimmel did a bit about him. You know, can you catch people up on that? I thought your perspective, especially on the Jimmy Kimmel thing, was really interesting.
Yeah, so basically, Kimmel played a clip for his audience trying to explain to them who Nick Fuentes was. And he was like, he's an insurrectionist, he's a white nationalist, he's anti-Semitic, he's all these things. But I think this clip is what sums him up best. And it cuts to a clip of Nick on his live stream saying, you know, like, he's an incel because having sex with women is gay. And then Kimmel's audience is like laughing hysterically.
The vaxxer, he's all the bad things. But I think this more than anything sums this gentleman up.
What, people calling me gay because I've never had a girlfriend? I think if anything, it makes me less gay. Never having a girlfriend, never having sex with a woman, really makes you more heterosexual. Because honestly, dating women is gay. Having sex with women is gay. And having sex with men is gay. And you know, it's all gay.
That was the Christmas episode, by the way.
But the problem is, Kimmel's audience isn't 18 years old.
Right. Yeah.
So they're not really the target demographic for what Nick is selling. Like, he's joking. He's making a joke. He's like being ironic. And it's like the same kind of people who are able to look at TikTok and be like, I don't get the humor on TikTok. I'm too old for TikTok. Are also like, but I definitely understand Nick Fuentes. And it's like, no, you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sorry. Like, you're missing the mark here. So that got shared a lot. And I think it's pretty unfortunate because it was basically going PR for Nick.
There's the Jimmy Kimmel instance for sure. But you know, how did you feel about the way that instance of, you know, Nick Fuentes being across the dinner table from Trump was covered more generally? You know, I tend to think like national coverage was okay, but not, I don't know. I just always wish you could get like an investigative team and just rip this guy into like a million pieces, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I mean, honestly, my pitch for the article was basically maybe like, everybody talking about Nick Fuentes, he says, shut the hell up. Nobody knows what's going on right now. Please let me publish something. And like, I mean, it worked. Because yeah, I mean, the coverage is, I think, at best, okay. You know, a lot of people trying to understand something they just don't understand and trying to understand it very quickly. Because I think it forced a lot of people who cover like Trump to have to, you know, try to use that same lens to look at Fuentes, and they just have no idea who this guy is.
Yeah, and all the different reporters that maintain their access, not going to name drop anybody, but I think listeners can probably guess some folks who I'm talking about. You know, they maintain their access by being like, you know, anytime Trump does something good, being like, he's a 4D chess master, he's a genius. And then anytime he does something bad, being like, well, how was he supposed to know? I don't know. And like, shit gets so exhausting, but it was nice to see them try to, I mean, how do you wipe that away? I mean, some of them tried to be like, well, you know, Trump doesn't, you know, always know who he's eating dinner with. And that was like right on the heels of, you know, I guess the FBI or whoever discovering all those documents at Mar-a-Lago. But, you know, something that you got to in your article that I think, or that, you know, I'd love for you to talk more about is that, you know, Nick Fuentes is a white supremacist. He's anti-Semite. He adores people like Hitler and Mussolini, different fascist leaders. And there will be people out there that maybe don't know as much about Nick Fuentes. And they're like, whoa, hold up. This guy loves Hitler. He's a white supremacist. So Why is he working on the campaign of a black rapper? You know, like, how does that work? Like, that's the classic, like, dumb guy take, which is like, well, he can't be a white supremacist. Look, he was friends in college with this, like, one Hispanic guy. And so how does this work here? Like, how do we square that in our minds?
Well, I think it's twofold here. And the first part is that, you know, I think Nick has always focused more on, like, hating Jewish people than hating anybody else. And I think an important thing to him is, like, your allegiance and your alliance in that. And in the past, he's, like, paid lip service to trying to convince different races, like, oh, the Jews are the problem for you, too. But, like, he's always kind of had these friendships with people. Another person that isn't white is Seiko, who was temporarily on Ye's campaign as well. Seiko's a YouTuber, if you aren't familiar with him, or he's a former YouTuber because he's been deplatformed everywhere. So now he's a Rumbler, I guess. And he's fine, you know, building those alliances, because as long as those people are like, yeah, I think, you know, America should be predominantly white. And, you know, if Nick gets his way and we fast forward, you know, and Nick is president and 10 years into the future after that, you know, I don't necessarily know nightmare. How strong those allegiances would still
nightmare
be.
Fuel.
Yeah, nightmare. But,
press,
you know,
secretary
for the way things are now.
Is coming out to address,
oh my,
the
God. Can't even imagine. But, you know, I think, you know, that could change in the future, but as it is now, like, he's friends with a lot of people, or quote unquote friends, with people who are not white. And even, like, you know, there's a lot of ribbing too within the community. I've heard, just as when I was undercover, people would talk about Nick and they'd be like, you know, our favorite Mexican or whatever. And then he'll do the same. Like, he's got, you know, a girl that's Jewish that's on his platform, and he'll, you know, kind of make fun of her for being Jewish, but it's all, you know, lighthearted. The other thing is that Nick is a really big fan of Kanye West, and has been for a really long time. Huge fan. And for years he's been taking Kanye's music and saying, you know, you see the red pill here, you see the red pill here. And when, you know, Ye came out and was beginning to say all this stuff publicly, Nick was a lot of gloating, you know? He's like, I've been telling you guys about all these red pills. You haven't been listening. I mean, literally, like, in the article, I talk about a 2018 episode of the show where Nick's wearing a Yeezus sweater and he's, you know, analyzing Ye's tweets and Donald Trump's responses. And, like, he's like, they're signs from God, you know? You know, Kim's Armenian and Armenia's important in Christianity. And this is, it's all coming together. And he's just baking it, like,
yeah,
you know, QAnon
person.
Yeah,
I was about to say, this is, like, one step removed from QAnon. It's like, yay, Anon.
Yay, Anon. Oh, no. What did you just give birth to? Oh, no.
I think what you're saying here is probably, like, very much summed up in the moment on InfoWars. Well, I guess there were several. Jesus, there were several moments where Kanye is just like, I love Hitler. I love Hitler so much. And then Alex Jones is like, you don't mean that. And he's like, oh, yeah, I do.
That's right. You're not Hitler. You're not a Nazi. You don't deserve to be called that and demonized.
Well, I see good things about Hitler also.
There's a lot of things. It's just like, oh my God.
Yes.
I was, like, sitting in a CVS for that, like, part where he was like, there's a lot of things I love about Hitler. Because I was like, I need, like, I don't know, like, a candy bar or something. It's like having a mental breakdown over Kanye's, like, situation. And I felt like I was like, it was like 9/11. Like, I felt like I should tell the cashier, like, look what Kanye West is doing on InfoWars right now. It's a national tragedy.
It spun me out so bad that I was like, wondering, I was like, and to be fair, I mean, if you've got, like, Milo and all these folks in the mix, trolling and putting up, like, a fake Kanye West on InfoWars wouldn't be completely out of the realm of imagination. But I also think part of it was my own personal coping mechanism to be like, this has to be a bit. Surely this is a bit. Does this even sound like him? And then, of course, as you know, the longer the interview went on, I was like, fuck, okay, yeah. Yeah, this is definitely him.
Yeah.
These stories are, like, way too specific. This would be, like, an Oscar-worthy performance if it wasn't him.
And then Kim had sex in front of the fireplace with Pete Davidson. It's like, I don't know that a troll would be able to reference the specific Keeping Up with the Kardashians moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you know, another thing you touched in this article is something that I was recently talking with Ben Lorber about, who you also quoted in the piece. which is the Students for Ye groups on different campuses. So on Kanye West's aspirational hopes of one day running a presidential campaign, these different little offshoots have appeared on a, you know, different campuses where, you know, essentially it's being like, look, we're like TPUSA, but we support this rapper who really doesn't like Jewish people. You know, what can you tell us about that? I haven't been following it as closely as I probably should. So can you fill me in on like what's been going on there and, you know, why that is no bueno?
Yeah. So there's been a lot of fracturing within the college Republican like movement in general. It's the same thing that we see in, you know, regular Republican Party. It's something we've seen in the Libertarian Party, where things have become more extreme. So a lot of these college campuses, these Republican parties in general, this is like a separate story, but relevant here, have been overtaken by the far right, like MAGA wing. And they've sometimes people have been ousted through, you know, vote changes or rules that go against, you know, the predated rules. So there's been a lot of fracturing. So some college Republican campuses have like two like college Republican clubs, or they just have one extremism club and all the normal people were like, we're not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that have generally started to form these Students for Ye, you know, movements. I don't know if they're like considering them caucuses within the movement or like actual like individual clubs, because I feel like it's like one and the same. Yeah. You know, at this
non-binding point. Members, you know, they're formally affiliated, but they don't get a vote at the board meetings.
They've started collecting emails and names, and they've been hosting Twitter spaces. And the guy who's the chairman of this group, he has, you know, Tucker Carlson let him interview him for 40 minutes, which is very bizarre. It's a very weird interview. And he's, you know, given, you know, speeches at various like far right stuff in the past. So he's pretty well connected. And so he started up this organization. He's collecting everyone's information and he's saying, you know, we want to get the Turning Point USA clubs. We want to target them. And we want to talk to people in those clubs. And we want to turn them over to Students for Ye. And of course, Turning Point USA would say they're not happy about this because they try to be more mainstream and, you know, not loving Hitler. But there's a lot of crossover already with Turning Point USA and Groypers. And, you know, there's clubs where Groypers are holding positions of power in the Turning Point USA chapters. So that's what's going on. They want to target all the normal people and make them Students for Ye. And in addition to that, there's also other thing happening where some of the people who have live streams on Nick's platform are going to college campuses and they are putting up tables. And it's actually just like Steven Crowder, who goes to college campuses and says, you know, change my mind on the stupid little tables.
They play their cards right. They'll get, you know, millions of dollars.
$50 million. They'll leave Nick behind. Sorry.
Cozy TV sorry sucks.
Little piddly platform.
Right. Yeah, 50 mil. See you later, Groypers.
And they went to Florida Atlantic University and they had a table and it said, Kanye is right, change my mind. And of course, people are like furious and people come in, you know, argue with them and they put up the video of it. And of course, everybody is like, he's a Nazi. Like, he hates Jewish people. Like, I don't, like, why, like, what? Like, would change your mind? Like, what are you getting out of here? Like, what's your purpose?
I feel like
why
when someone crosses the line and they're like, oh, that he said Hitler rocks. And you know what? I think he's right. What can you possibly say to that person? No, he's not.
Yeah.
Hitler.
Right.
Hitler
oh,
is bad.
Okay. Well, you've changed my mind. And so they like, you know, the guys who were joining this, every student that comes up, they're like, well, why are you focusing on the Jews? Kanye says other stuff. Why are you focusing on the Jews? And it's like, well, you know, because of Hitler. like, of course, it's the most memorable
thing. That's the thing
that
is bad about him, primarily.
Yeah, primarily. It's really bad. And then it's a lot of like Holocaust denial and like slipping that in, you know, and students will be like, oh, you know, killing millions of people. They'll be like, well, that's to be debated. And we can have that conversation too, if you want. So they're also trying to get people to debate them about how many people died in the Holocaust and if the gas chambers were real. And it's this whole thing. And so it sucks. And they've got 10 more schools planned out, they say. And the Students for Ye, there's already chapters are already holding meetings. College Republican clubs are already holding meetings. You know, polling their members and seeing, do you guys want to be a branch of Students for Yay? And so that's not good. And I think part of the problem here is that just like Kanye doesn't really have a background in studying conspiracy theories, but Nick does. You know, so Kanye's got these personal gripes. And Nick is like, let me tell you which conspiracy theory I know that definitely explains what your problem is here. The same thing is kind of happening here, where an average person who is not a Nazi is not going to know these obscure conspiracy theories or how to fight back on them.
Yeah, they're going to bring up like, oh, the USS Liberty was attacked by Israel and maybe. And yeah, normal people are going to be like, what are you talking about? What is...
Exactly. Yeah,
which means that like if they film this or put this online, they can be like, boom, these people don't know shit. Listen, I know my shit. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and that's what they're doing. And it's been a griper tactic at TPUSA for years. And now they've made it, you know, with the backing of one of the most, you know, influential and successful hip hop artists and producers of all time. So that's not great. I think Students for Yay is bad. That's my overall
thing. It's not good. Wow, that's a controversial take. Not good.
I know.
All right.
I know.
Get my chalkboard out here and I'll mark you down for that one. Amanda Moore does not like Kanye West, especially Hitler stuff.
That's my least favorite thing about him. Yeah. Honestly. That and like the weird stalking and harassment of the mother of his children. I also don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like those things. And then I also think that the Life of Pablo album was grossly overrated. It was lazy and, you know, he's like, oh, it's experimental. You know, the album is updated as I go. And it's like, dude, that's just called not finishing the album. Like, that's not an artistic process. So annoying. And then like, you would think that like, oh, by the end of all of that, the album would be good. And there's a few songs, but like, that sucks. It sucks. I don't know. I can't listen to his music anymore.
I had a nightmare the night before that article came out, because I'm like a week before the Hitler stuff. Yeah, my friends, we were all out and we were talking about like, what do we do about Kanye's music? Like, because we were talking about karaoke, and one girl in my group was like, I love singing Kanye karaoke. She's like, when do you think I'll be able to do that again? And at the time he had it said he loved Hitler. So I was like, oh, you know, it'll be eventually he'll come back around. And like a week later, I text, I was like, I don't think you could do that anymore. Unless you also love Hitler now. But so I had a nightmare the night before this article came out that like she had a party and I went to it and she sang Kanye karaoke and someone filmed me, posted it on Twitter. Got canceled because I was at the Kanye karaoke party. And I was oh no, what a nightmare, because I love Kanye's music. That's just
That liberal cancel culture it's everywhere. It comes for everyone. It's,
you know
what?
I would have to be a campaign staffer for him if that happened to me, because I would have no choice.
I mean, what kind of country are we in if you can't, you know, rap along to your favorite Hitler loving rapper in a public setting?
Right.
It's
come on.
Ridiculous. You know, as we're wrapping up here, you know, I think just kind of touch on a few other things that caught my eye. The gas stove freak out was very, very funny to me. It was ridiculous. It actually, you know what? I don't even know if I have anything new to say about this. It was just so stupid. It's like, so this Biden administration person, you know, told a Bloomberg news reporter like, oh, you know, if gas stoves are dangerous and they're giving people asthma, then we should ban them probably. So that gets reported. And then, you know, some Republicans are like, you'll take, you know, using tones that they normally reserve for like, you know, high powered rifles after a school full of children gets murdered for the third time that month. You know, they're like, you'll come and take it from my cold, dead hands, my gas stove, motherfucker. And it's like, just so, so disingenuous and ridiculous. And like, there's Ron DeSantis campaign merch with stoves on it. Don't tread on stove. I don't know. It's just,
when is the last time Cat Shit 2 cook something? Like, when do you think? And yet he's tweeting pictures of his oven. Brother, I don't think you've ever made a food in your life. You know, like, first of all, it goes against your whole morals of like what women should be doing versus what men should be doing. So I'm just not confident that you're cooking too much.
Also, like, cats don't cook food.
That's a good
kibble.
That's right. It take my can opener from my cold dead hands.
Yeah, next, what do you expect me to say? Oh, cat turd too? You're upset about the directions toilets flush? Yeah, right, dude. I know you use a litter box. This is the stupidest bit. It was just so like anything, it started with this little like grain of truth of like this Biden administration person saying something and everyone going, oh, really? And then of course the White House scrambles and it's like, Joe Biden loves gas stoves, actually. You know, he keeps his lit every night as a nightlight. And
the Biden family makes marshmallows over their gas stove every night.
Hunter Biden heats up his spoons, drugs in them over the gas stove. Like, you can't do that on induction. That's a terrible joke. You know, despite the clarifications, that didn't stop anything. And, you know, even though this is completely disingenuous, major media outlets just kept eating the bait. At this point, I just think they want to eat the bait, where they're like, there's a hot new debate in Washington over gas stoves. And it's like, really? That was last week, and I haven't heard shit about it this week. It's a hot new debate, yeah. Right? Like, this is the hot new culture war issue gripping Washington. So where is it? It's just... Yeah. I don't know. It's like goldfish. It's like we read our reporting from goldfish. Sorry, I'm getting too hot over this stuff.
No, because it's so stupid. Do you remember during the pandemic with like I was unemployed and I was getting $100 a week in unemployment because America sucks? And Nancy Pelosi opens up her $20,000 freezer and is like, here's 30 cans or containers of $12 a container Jenny's ice cream. Oh, you know, we're all in this pandemic together. And I was like, I hate you, you know? And it's like very funny that it's like the exact same thing, because all these assholes are like, here's my obscenely expensive gas. Here's my like incredibly redesigned, remodeled kitchen that like probably costs more than, you know, my stove probably costs more than your car. Like
my personal chef,
we're all the same team.
Very upset. Right. If you
right. My personal chef says she's gonna quit. She's gonna find it. She's gonna work for somebody else in a state that doesn't regulate this stuff. Like it's just so out of touch with how everybody lives. And it's, and also a lot of these people are like representing states, some of them are politicians, in states where people don't have gas stoves.
Yeah, like the gas stoves are mostly like up and down the east and west coast because street lamps used to be gas powered, so that infrastructure was there. But like most places, it's electric stoves. And if you have a gas stove, it's like a luxury, you know? It's
exactly. But what if you remodel your $3 million home? You might have gas then, and every voter in Florida has a $3 million home that they've remodeled, right?
Everybody. Yeah, it's just completely...
This is like me like being willing to like just end my life over like the rights of first-class airline passengers, you know? Like, you might as well make it like that your new culture war. Because at this point, these people will obviously jump onto anything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like a Pavlovian response. It's, you know, ring the bell and the dog slobbers at this point, and it's... I don't know. I mean, that's the best way I can think of it, because it's not as if they actually care about this stuff. And yeah, the first class airline passenger thing is, I could definitely see that happening like next week, where they're like, if you want my 2 inches of leg room, you'll have to come cut my legs off. And and then the next week, everyone forgets about it. And they're like, oh, wait, what was the airline thing again? And then Politico's got some newsletter that's like, the new gripping debate inside the GOP. Is Trump still king? Or is it United Airlines? Fuck. I'm sorry. Those articles just made me so mad. I was like, what are we doing here? Let's wrap this up here. I've been talking with Amanda Moore, who's been kind enough to sit in the co-host spot this week. Amanda, where can people find you? Harass you, say weird things about Nick Fuentes and Kanye West to you?
I'm on all platforms as NoTurtleSoup17, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Substack, Mastodon, whatever we're doing now, Tumblr, I'm there. So that's...
Do you use Mastodon much? Are you tooting on Mastodon? That's what it's called, right? You toot on Mastodon?
It was. They've now changed it to publish your post or something.
Boo.
I try to use it, but it's. I mean, if I say I don't like it, there's going to be like 3,000 people that like want to scalp me because like people love Mastodon, like really love it. So it's great. I love it. I just find it's not a very good Twitter replacement.
Yeah, there's something special about Twitter, even though all these people were like, you know, and I made fun of some of these people, but also participated in this lightly where they're like, well, boys, it's been a good run. If Elon Musk ends up killing this here Twitter site, y'all know where to find me. And it's, of course, everyone's still posting on Twitter as much as they ever have.
Yeah, every time I would post, like, where else you find me? Like, my concern is getting suspended, because I've really been... There was a period of time where I was really making fun of Elon Musk a lot, and I was getting my account locked every so often. But yeah, I'm like, I'll try to be on Mastodon, but probably Facebook. Like, you know, because it's like, what am I supposed to do? What can take the place of Twitter? Where else can you find the most deranged takes alongside regular news? Like, you just, there's nowhere.
You can find Amanda Moore on Facebook Live streaming from the driver's seat of a car going 80 miles per hour down the highway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's me. I'm going to be in my pickup truck with my gun on my lap, speeding down the highway, making live streams.
Nice. You might be able to get like a Daily Wire deal out of that. Just play your cards right. Amanda, you've been on the show before. You know the last question I'm going to ask you. What's your favorite thing on the internet right now?
Every 3 hours on the internet, a new story about George Santos comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the most beautiful thing.
It just doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop.
Can't stop. You know, if there's ever a headline about me that is like, I did not kill a dog, please just take all internet away from me for like a month. Just put me away. Send me off to some, like, I don't know, some resort without internet, without people. Just let me hide. You know, every couple of hours there's some news story. And it's like, I don't know if like journalists are like working in tandem where it's like, okay, so like I know about the drag queen stuff and you know about the dog thing. So if you do that at 1 p.m., then at 3:45 p.m., I'm going to do like the whole dog thing. And then we can kind of like share each other's stuff, because it's like, you might as well. I mean, there's so much to go around.
Yeah, so I mean, each other. I could just imagine like one person in the newsroom runs like, oh, he lied about being the descendant of Holocaust survivors. And then like 10 minutes later, someone's like, we think he tried to drown his mom. And then the Holocaust survivor story guy's like, come on, man, I just published mine. What was that?
Yeah, you got to work together, you know? You gotta make sure.
What was the last one you saw? I feel like this will probably change by the time this episode comes out. But
it probably will. So also yesterday, I didn't do anything about that stupid march. I think the last thing I saw was, not only was there like the drag queen stuff, which you already knew, but then there's like video of him in drag. So that was the last thing I saw. And it was...
Oh, yeah. In that headline, I forget what outlet it was, but it's just like, George Santos, I did not kill a dog and I was not a drag queen. Dude should just step down. I mean, he's got lifetime like health benefits and pension and stuff now because he got sworn in. But it's like, what is he doing at this point? I just can't help but wonder, like, who is benefiting from this? Like, someone somewhere is like, don't worry, George. Like, I'm sure tomorrow will be better. Just hang in there. Keep your chin up. And then, like, the next story comes
tomorrow, out. New Yorker has a feature spread on George Santos.
And then they're like, oh, don't worry, George. I mean, what else could there be? George Santos has an identical twin that is good. He is the evil one. They change places.
A dog breeder, but like an ethical kind. And
the dogs are expensive, but it's, you know, you go there and it's because they're taken care of, you know? It's like,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with purchasing this tiny dog that runs in my house.
Anyway, posting through it, listeners. Thanks for tuning in this week. I'll see you in a couple more.
Yeah, that over, smelly aroma. Them done dead a really long time. When I ramp, when I skinny, couldn't wake from a coma. Listen, yeah, that shots get fired in the wars, but right for the skin like with his enemies. Nothing ain't crisp when it end up in a jungle. Yo, listen, yeah, that kid is in a jungle. Kid is in a jungle. Kid is in a jungle.
Yo, listen, you hear that? Killers in the jungle. Killers in the jungle.